fighting for America.
The media market personality Marconi goes to Kevin Miller, KIDOAM, Boise, Idaho.
Fighting for Idaho.
I just want to say to all of you, thank you for believing in radio and local radio. I want to thank Town Square Media. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners.
Fighting for you.
But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio, that believe in touching people's lives. God bless you all. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Good to have you with us. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. We're joined now by Sherry Abar. She's running for the state school superintendent. Ms. Abar, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Look, busy as always. How goes the race?
Wonderful. Thank you. And thank you for having me on this morning to talk about one of my most favorite subjects, which happens to be education. But the race is going well. Thank you for asking.
Well, what really, if you could define that when you're taking a look at how it's playing out, what's the difference between you and your opponent, Jana Jones?
Well, I'm an educator with frontlines experience, nearly 20 years. I have not taken a break from education and been on the outside of the business world. I have experience in all phases. I've been a classroom teacher for 11 years. I was also a vice principal of a junior high and a principal, was moved over to an elementary school where that school under my leadership went from failing status to four-star status. Currently hold a federal programs and curriculum director position. I'm a certified superintendent. I hold two endorsements and three degrees from the state of Idaho. I have a Bachelor of Arts degree in elementary education, a master's degree in educational leadership, and an educational specialist degree with an emphasis or specialist in the superintendency. So I have current experience in the field, and I believe that is what Idaho is looking for, is an educational leader, because we are related to achievement, closest to the kids.
Well, but on the other hand, you have people saying that the state isn't doing well, and you've got to replace state school superintendent Tom Luna, who had a controversial run. Does being a Republican hurt or help you?
You know, this is about Idahoans, and certainly I'm proud to be a Republican and a conservative leader with a vision for the future. The past is done. Although we can't change it, we need to work on not repeating it and maintain our focus on having good planning in place and a process that starts several years earlier. So I am that leader that's conservative with a vision for the future. We'll not make excuses for missteps, but, you know,
sure.
We need
what
to
is
move
the
on.
What is the vision as far as getting Idaho out of, you know, what a lot of critics have said, Mrs. Ibarra, that we're in the last place in education? We've got these ads saying that Governor Otter and Tom Luna did this. Now, again, you're talking about your vision in the future, but you've got to deal with those things. How do you solve that problem as a frontline educator?
Well, I think it's a very common misconception to say that schools are broken and nothing's been done correctly. We tend to focus on the negative a lot, and where we land last is for funding. Achievement actually is stagnant in Idaho, and that's where I will come into play with a vision for the future and address the whole child. And what that means, simply stated, is focus on the unique needs of each child as an individual. We know they all grow and learn at different rates, and we need to respect that. We also don't focus on some of the wonderful things in Idaho that we have done, which is very disrespectful to the people that have been on the front lines trying to move us forward with the very little that they've had to work with. There's a lot of research out there that states, you know, it's not funding that relates to educational achievement. It's parental involvement, and that, again, is part of the platform of Address the Whole Child. Get involved, roll your sleeves up, get on the front lines, and focus on your vision for the future, which is Address the Whole Child with three top priorities, which
right,
is
right,
safety
right.
and support.
Right, hold on. Let's have a conversation here at 580KIDO. A lot of people don't have time or the education expertise to do this. And now are you debating that we are not in the bottom when it comes to scores and everything that have been said by everybody else?
Absolutely not. As I'm traveling the state of Idaho, it is a fact that we are at the bottom for funding. But, You know, people want to get involved as I'm traveling, and that's the beauty of local control. That's what they mean. Give that back to us and let us make decisions on that address the whole child model, which is what is best for the unique needs of our students in our community. Again, we're last for funding, and there's not a lot of research out there that says if you throw more money at it, well, that's just what's going to raise achievement in Idaho. You have to maintain a focus. Now, of course, I'm not the what superintendent would not want more money for education, but I have a sneaking suspicion if we had all the money in the world, it still wouldn't be enough. I will shake every tree and turn over every rock to find more funding, but until you know exactly where that money is going and you let local school districts have more control over their spending, don't ask for more.
So how do you look at all the local levies that have passed? You have folks, and look, you're a real-time administrator. You're there. You deal with this each and every day, and we just talk about it here at 580KIDO, but all these levies that have passed and people have said, we've cut education to the bone. We need more money. And you're saying, look, we need to figure out where the money's going from. So how do you address those folks like Meridian just shot down a levy or a bond for over $100 million because they need new schools? And we see these levies all the time. Again, you're on it more than we are. So how do you address those folks that say they want more money or need it?
Well, being on the front lines, I think it's important to remember that the state superintendent of public instruction is not, and this is a great way to explain it, their responsibility is not the how. How is it funded and how much we receive? We are the what. What do you do with it? Now, that doesn't mean I won't be the person who walks alongside the legislators and lets them know that that's an example of inadequate funding. Adequate funding is what I support, and what that looks like is not four-day work weeks, not the basic supplies, and not large classrooms at the lower levels. And so that will be my responsibility, and I'm not weak in my ability to influence others, have a lot of support from the legislators, and in pointing out, being on the front lines, hey, this is not working. We have got to do things differently, and I know that's what Idaho is looking for in their next educational leader.
580KIDO, so let's talk a little bit about some of the issues that you addressed in the primary. A lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives, ma'am, have an issue with Common Core. Your thoughts? We've heard it before, but again, for people that are just tuning in, getting reintroduced to you, tell us about your thoughts on Common Core and whether or not it is the solution to some of our challenges in education here.
You know, it's become a political football, and there's a lot of misconceptions out there about it. It doesn't dictate lessons. It doesn't dictate curriculum. As I'm talking to folks and traveling, most of them agree that we have always had standards, and if we're stagnant in achievement, then we need to do something different. So we needed new standards. The adoption process, the way it was rolled out, those are their concerns, and the testing piece, that is a concern as well, because if it's the standards themselves that hold us accountable, and then we have this test that was invented to police that, that's not in the best interest of Idaho's kids. The other thing is the test takes one snapshot of kids in one day of their lives, and then we use that as a weapon to shame school districts and kids and teachers. Again, that's not in the best interest of our students. A test that was embedded to police the standards is just not the Idaho way. I will drag my feet every step of the way that towards anything that could cause us to lose control statewide, local-wide, any of that, but we have to do things differently, and I'm the one that's on the front lines and knows exactly the direction we're going and can work with legislators to let them know this is the direction and the vision for the future and the way that Idaho wants things done and done correctly. And it works because I've taken a failing school to four-star status by empowering teachers, stretching the dollar, and making sure we have a vision on the future.
Sherry Barr with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Let's go to the phones, and we go to Brian in Meridian at 580KIDO for Sherry Barr. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. This is
Good morning, Brian.
I have a question for you. We know that athletics are a special privilege as qualified in state law. My research has found that on average 7.7% of schools' budget are spent on athletics. Now, I myself enjoy watching athletics here and there, having participated in them when I was in Hyatt High School, though as a student manager. What would we want to see? Now, what I'm getting at is that Mountain View High School in Meridian 54% of its land is dedicated to athletics, and over 34% of its budget when it was built was geared toward the athletics. How can we justify needing more money from the people in the form of bonds or from the state legislatures if such high amounts of property, land, and cost are going towards a privileged activity that should be funded of itself outside of tax dollars? What is your take on how that would apply to fiscal conservancy?
Well, I appreciate your question this morning, and I do realize that athletics are a way of keeping students in school and support those. But again, you know, it is the job of the state superintendent to get the mandates out to the 115 school districts that I will be working with. That is a local control issue, and again, that just relates back to having a plan for the future with their spending in their area. And so that would be, it prioritizes their spending. What are they going to spend it on? How are they going to expend it? Are they involving all stakeholders? Are they evaluating, and are they letting every day reflect their strategic plan for spending in their district?
That seems to be a conflict of qualifiers in that the state is making Common Core a requirement across the board, yet are saying no, control of your local resources regarding athletics and stuff is a local issue, but yet at the same time crying out for more budget money from the legislators towards our education. I would prefer that, yes, we continue with athletics, but they need to be put into direct perspective as to how we are seeking to implement our better education for our children as they're heading out of into the world.
Well, and I agree with you, and I appreciate the Common Core comment that you just made, because, again, that's the piece. The standards are what we need to support, higher standards, but none of the other package where we lose control should we accept ever as Idahoans. And so, again, it doesn't dictate lesson plans or curriculum. And, again, this is going to bring more local control, the standards, to those school districts. But anything else, we need to really have a superintendent like myself in place that drags their feet and doesn't embrace any other part of that as a whole package.
All right.
Just the standards piece.
Fair enough. Thank you, Brian. Ms. Sabara, we're going to have you back for more time. We appreciate it, and good luck to you for your website. If people would like that, what can they do?
Oh, I really appreciate that. Get out and vote. Stop and speak with me when you have the opportunity. Look and see all the events on my website. You know, I've touched all four corners of the state. We'll be touching that again before the election. I really, really, really appreciate this time and your listeners out there. It was exciting this morning to get to talk about education, and I am looking forward to coming back and taking more calls from the public.
Oh, that'll be great. We just have the gay marriage thing, so we've got to cover that. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
The Supreme Court has refused to listen to five appeals of the same-sex marriage bans being overturned. So we're talking about, where are we at? Utah. Let me see. Where are we else here? I'm too busy Facebooking with everybody. We're talking about five states that have decided that the federal judges and the Supreme Court have decided Virginia, Oklahoma, Utah, Wisconsin, and Indiana will leave the lower court ruling intact that struck down the bans on same-sex marriage. Now, where does Idaho stand? I think we were waiting for Utah. We still have the 11th Circuit, as you saw some of the, well, just one local TV station going to San Francisco, because forget about the budget, forget about jobs, forget about education. It's gay marriage that is the big thing, apparently. But at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, by the way, thank you to the U.S. Supreme Court that has not done its job. The gay marriage is legal is jumping from 19 to 30. Coming up next, your thoughts on this, and have we ever seen anything in the history of this great republic where you had states agreeing constitutionally to rewrite their constitution, put in a constitutional amendment defining marriage to be redone by the tyranny of the bench, number one. Number two, didn't the Supreme Court supposedly decide that it was the states that had the rights to do this last time with the DOMA, with the Prop 8, with the Windsor decision? And accurately, as we predicted then, well, we just kind of got it from some legal website, that we would see groups of individuals challenge the same-sex bans, challenge the definition of marriage by using the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause. So you have, as in Idaho, four people who have used, I believe, four lesbians who have used their constitutional rights to undo what 63% of the population has voted on. And by the way, you have more Republicans than Democrats on the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court drops the ball. Your thoughts? 580-5436, or maybe you're like one of these non-social conservative Republicans that I get lectured to all the time. You need to be more like us, Kevin Miller. Who cares about social issues? Who cares about social issues? Let's make money. Well, you tell me what marriage is. Time to bring back polygamy? Time to marry as many people, however you feel, left and right? Because really, it's not a cheap shot. It's a question. Where is this?
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Going back to the big story here, the Supreme Court declined to take up the issue of gay marriage that will now allow gay marriage in five states, same-sex weddings that were previously banned, Virginia, Oklahoma, Utah, Wisconsin, and Indiana. Now you have North Carolina, West Virginia, South Carolina, Wyoming, Kansas, and Colorado. Which might be next. The high court's decision not to hear the cases were unexpected because most legal experts believed it would want to weigh in on the question of national importance. The issue could still return to the court, but the message was sent by the court. Declining to hear the matter would be a boost to gay marriage advocates involved in similar litigation in states where they've been banned on the books. Supreme Court of Cowards. I think that both sides deserved a hearing on this. We go to Liberal Steve. I wonder what he has to say at 580KIDO.
Spring is coming in 6 months. Hey, isn't that great? Isn't that great that we used our democracy as it should be used? That we don't let the mob rule? That we go by our Constitution? And what a great day in America. Another great day that
Well, really, what's so great about it?
Individuals that are in love can profess their love to each other and spend life together and possibly eternity. And it's just great. I mean, I can feel the love in the air out there, you know. And then you got all your Second Amendment people out there. If 63% bought out, like this was bought and sold, like everything is in America. But our
you're actually making no sense. So what happens
what
if you?
What do you mean making no sense? It was bought.
What happens if? What happens if you love multiple people? Why should you be limited to one person?
Well, I agree. Why?
So you agree that polygamy should be brought back?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what's the difference between polygamy or living your life out with different girlfriends every 5 years, living in your house or your apartment? What's the difference?
And let's say maybe you one day you love men, the next day you love women. Why not be able to do that?
Well, why not?
Why really not, even Kevin have any Miller? Why not have any limits or any requirements or responsibilities when it comes to marriage? Let's just
it's
redefine it,
marriage.
Shall we?
It's still called marriage.
I don't
Kevin
think
Miller.
That marriage is between you and several people and you all trade places when you ring the bell.
Hey, that's up to you, you know. You always go to the sexual. Is that what marriage is about, just sex, Kevin Miller? Is that what marriage is all about, just sex?
Apparently, in this case, it's about same sex.
It's one of the percentages out there. But, you know, get the sex out of the equation and just a life of growing and living together and
so
planning the future.
So over 2,000 years of Western civilization is wrong.
The teachings of most major
religions are wrong. The Supreme Court and you are correct.
ISIS believes the same thing. And major
we're not talking about ISIS. We're talking about the Supreme Court dropping the ball and deciding not to hear the appeals of the same-sex bans being shut down. Your thoughts on that as we move along? Is this the tipping point? Will we now have people going to the old Ada County Courthouse, going to the Capitol building, ringing the bells for marriage equality, marriage freedom? And personally, I'd like to hear from our progressive folks that always say, you are good on fiscal issues, but we don't like them socials. I mean, social issues matter. Social conservatism is not dead. But at 580-5436, I've got issues with the Supreme Court. And quite frankly, what is the standard of marriage anymore? What is it? Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 men.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Burnett with us as we start the day. Dave, good morning.
Hello. Oh, there we are. Sorry. Had to get my mic on. Good morning, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. It sounded like a record playing there.
No, I know it was. It's just an old scratchy record. It's my life.
All right, 580-KIDO, as we start the morning, big game last night. Seattle, once again, rolling, no surprise there, over Washington.
Barely.
Yeah.
They struggled.
Well, not with Russell Wilson. We've got the big decision, non-decision by the U.S. Supreme Court.
No surprise there.
And we've got an issue that, I think a lot of disappointment there.
Yeah, but no surprise.
Really?
I wasn't surprised by the fact that it passed, no.
See, I was. I think a lot of people across the nation were surprised by that. Why weren't you surprised?
I expected them to fold and to pass. I just, that's what I expected they would do. They didn't want to deal with it.
Mm.
So, you know, I guess what's sad out of that is the fact that the will of the people of a state, the majority vote, overlooked.
Well, and, you know, we talk a little bit about that at 580kido.com, the Supreme Court of Cowards. You can check that out. Number one, it's on our Facebook sites as well. But you take a look at the Supreme Court deciding not to hear these cases, and now five states that went to their court, went to the Supreme Court to hear the appeal, they're done. And now you have five other states that may or may not have to abide by the rules because they're under that same circuit. Now, people keep wondering what's happening with Idaho. We're under a different circuit. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if all of a sudden the Supreme Court decided to hear the appeal from the 11th Circuit, I believe, which is the most liberal
ninth.
Court.
Is that ninth. Not the 9th Circuit?
Is it the 9th?
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, would you know before you correct me? Let's take a look. Let's go to Google and see who's right here.
All right.
9th Circuit, lib.
Is that what you Googled in?
Exactly. Let's see. 9th Circuit is in San Francisco, so you would be correct, right?
Yeah, I hate to correct you.
No, I was about ready to say, and I was right. It was the 9th Circuit. You had the 9th, I had the 11th.
Ring the bell of winner. Thank you.
There you go.
Okay. I get the prize.
A whole lot of nothing. That's what you get around here.
Okay.
But so we have the most liberal court ever. Wouldn't that be amazing if they heard that case and as opposed to Utah and everything else? Now, I don't understand how Utah got, I think it's the 11th Circuit. I'm not going to say since I've already been rung this morning. But how can Utah be in the 11th and we're in the 9th?
Well, see, there's always been a big controversy. There's people that would like to see another circuit court started for the Mountain West states.
Mm.
That would probably have I would assume, but you never assume anything, Kevin. It would have a little more conservative bent.
Yes, never assume anything.
No.
Well, I just thought, yeah, that's the problem with you. You thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's very disappointing because the Supreme Court, whether you agree with folks or not, whether you agree with their decisions or not, has to decide this. And the fact that they punted on Windsor, and you remember last year when we were talking about this, all the legal analysts said this will lead to people across the country challenging these constitutional amendments. And even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said they didn't want to have another Roe v. Wade where even the libs believe they overstepped. So what did they do? Led by Justice Kennedy, and I believe in the Windsor decision as I was reading this last night, and our friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, will explain this to us coming up. But in the Windsor decision, Kennedy actually gave him the game plan to do it. And Scalia predicted that this would happen. And all of a sudden you have 4 to 6 people, I think it's 6 people in Idaho, have overturned 63% of the popular will here. Well, not yet, at least until it's decided, but really that's where it is across the country. And as we said before, Karl Rove put this together in 2004, and you had states getting together to do this, and then all of a sudden you have, I don't know if they were organized or not, gee, it seems kind of a coincidence that everybody would just kind of do it arbitrarily.
Yeah. Again, yeah, it is disappointing. And not just for this ruling, but just any ruling in general that they take the will of the people and discard it. Go, eh, who cares what the people think?
It would have been better served if they would have decided same-sex marriage is legal. At least we would have had a decision from the court instead of this decision, non-decision.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of the funny thing here at 580KIDO. You take a look at, Roberts, Alito, Scalia, Thomas, the swing vote Kennedy, and I don't understand why they didn't want to do this. And you go back to the Windsor decision, which overturned the 1996 DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, that was passed by a Democrat, Bill Clinton. He signed it into law, and Prop 8. I love the one on Prop 8. Well, I'm sorry, since the state of California did not defend its own law, which it's constitutionally obligated to do, I'm sorry, you're going to have to, you're not authorized to defend the law, therefore we send it back to the lower circuit's ruling. That's how they got away with Prop 8.
Yeah.
And you remember they protested churches and temples and all those things.
Yeah.
Well, in the name of tolerance.
You would just think the Supreme Court would take the stand, make a ruling, make a decision. Wouldn't you think?
Well, they are there for life.
I guess. They don't have to really answer to anybody.
Then you've got Ruth Bader Ginsburg saying she's not going to resign. And then you have a lot of people saying you better resign or else, because you're not going to have a happy Senate coming up, whether the Republicans get the majority or not. Then you have, the idea of a Republican president. Heck, with Republicans luck picking Supreme Court justices, you'll get a big lib anyway. Oh, he's no, trust us. He's good this time. Yeah, Justice Roberts.
Yeah. he's got her down.
So we've got that going on. I do want to talk to you about the governor's race because I'm kind of fascinated with that. But here at 580KIDO, anything getting your attention here?
No, not, it's interesting. There's a lot of people out, saying that Otter's in trouble, trying to create that, appearance. Because if you can create it, people beginning to believe it and they take another look at the candidates, which is, what their goal is to get them to look at. And to be honest with you, I think people need to look at the candidates, whether he's incumbent or whether it's a challenger. Look at the candidates, look at what they're saying, and make a decision. I think anyone who sits out, though, it's just not good.
Now, have you had a chance, I'm sure you've listened to these ads, but I want to get your analysis of these ads that I'm fixated with. Are you ready for these? These ads that we've been playing nonstop?
Sure.
Let me see here. This is the Republican Governors Association ad.
You know him, a typical politician, A.J. Belukoff. If there's a problem, fix it by raising taxes. Belukoff supports a new statewide property tax and supported expanding the sales tax. He supports Obamacare expansion, costing more millions. He's even wanted to use your tax dollars to fund political campaigns for politicians. If he gets the job, we'll get the bill. Liberal A.J. Belukoff, a perfect fit for California, wrong for Idaho.
Okay, that's from the Republican Governors Association. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at this ad that I think is cutting through. This is the A.J. Belukoff I Love Teachers ad.
I'm Rob Waite, and I've been an educator for 25 years. Let me tell you, we're shortchanging our students. Under Governor Otter, we fall into 50th in the nation in what we invest per student. We have trouble holding on to our best teachers, and our classrooms are too crowded. Close to 40 school districts in Idaho have gone to a four-day school week. I've been a Republican all of my adult life. I don't think I've ever voted for a Democrat, but this November, I'm voting for A.J. Belukoff. To me, it's about more than politics. It's about our students and our future.
There we have it. By the way, he's a lifelong Republican, lifelong educator.
Allegedly.
Laying the smack down on Governor Otter. Obviously, the education issue seems to be playing well, or that seems to be the strength of the Belukoff campaign.
Well, I think, and we've talked about this both on the air and off the air. Even within conservatives, schools ring a big bell amongst conservatives. And sometimes conservatives willing to just go ahead and spend money thinking that that is the answer. And so I think they have keyed in on that. And so that's, if you look at all of Belukov's advertising, it's all geared at education. It's all geared at teachers. They're trying to hit that education nerve. Number one, I'm assuming he's a lifelong Republican. I don't even know who this guy is, but he sounds very credible. He sounds very sincere in the ad. So, you know, so you have the Republicans on one side singing the same song. Oh, they're going to raise taxes. They're going to raise taxes. Well, in my case, it seems like I've seen that on all sides. Both donkeys and elephants. And on the Democrat side, it's, you know, it's about the kids. It's about the children.
Well, here's what I have for you, that you have these levies going on across the state, and you have educators saying, look, the governor has cut our money, and the governor has started to bring back some of that. But that is where they're coming from, and they're going to try and seek to capitalize on their victories over Props 1, 2, and 8, over Tom Luna, over everything else. I'm sure we'll see Mitt Romney, and we're seeing a lot of, and I don't know if you've gotten them, but I've gotten reports out of Canyon County where the governor lost, and he lost Ada County, in the primary, that a lot of negative direct mail on A.J. Belukov.
Yeah. I just go back to this with education. So what you're saying is if we throw more money at that fixes it?
They're saying they want to bring back the funding that was there.
And that'll fix it. So it was fixed before.
Well, apparently, you know, in the 8 years, and I'm not taking a side here at 580KIDU, I'm just giving you the side. They say that we've dropped to 50th in education. The funding cuts have hurt. We need to restore funding. We need to get teachers back in control. That's paraphrasing. My words, not theirs.
Yeah, and I think, and I go back to again, I think the advertising people for A.J. Belukov has come upon that fact that education resonates even amongst conservatives, and so they're going for that. And you know what? I mean, and I'm not saying not investing in kids is not good.
But I mean,
but just throwing money at a situation doesn't necessarily fix it. And I want to see what the other issues are. What are your other issues besides education?
With A.J. Belukov, obviously jobs.
Well, that's a duh.
You asked me about that.
No,
I'm trying to tell you what it is.
And I'm trying to take it answer by answer. Jobs.
Didn't let me expand on it.
Okay.
And he's criticizing the governor for bringing in minimum wage jobs. He wants to bring back real wage jobs by pumping up the state's education system. And he believes that by doing that, he's going to be able to attract quality employers. And the governor could say, look at all these jobs I've brought in. And A.J. Belukov sounds like Tea Party Bob, where he says they're all minimum wage jobs that people can't earn a living off. So that's the issue with jobs.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let's say you give a 10% increase to education to grade schools and junior highs. How does that create jobs, good-paying jobs?
How does it? Well, again, you're going to improve the educational quality. You're going to get better test scores, and that will, again, the theory being, people will see that the schools here are improving. They'll want to bring their kids because when you move a company, you look at roads, you look at taxes. Of course, you would know more about this than I would. The taxes for small businesses in Idaho are horrible. It's not a very business-friendly state when it comes to business itself, businesses here. And you look at education. That's going to be the talking point. But let me before you get me on this, let me hit you with a few things, and then I'm going to shut up here. You've got otter fatigue, you've got a well-funded opponent, and you've got the conservatives, as we talked about before, that are, dude, they're angry. I mean, they're on Facebook ripping Steve Yates for bringing Larry Craig back into the fold.
Well, if you're angry, get involved, run for state senate, and try to take those positions. I guess when it comes back to this, do you want to bring jobs? And by the way, just so you know, I'm not running for governor, but you want to bring jobs to the area? Give them some tax cuts. That's what brings jobs in. If I'm a corporation, it doesn't have to do with the fact you're spending 10% more on your grade school kids. It has to do with the fact that you're going to cost my company less money to come there and do business.
Right. But back to these other elements that I talked about, I think those are, and John Bujak, I think it's an uphill climb for the governor. Who, when he's run, has not actually ever, you know, put anybody away with 70% of the vote.
No. And you know, for Ada County itself, he's had trouble here, and it's the biggest population base. So I think my opinion on this, I think the biggest thing that the governor is battling, I think, and that is otter fatigue, which goes with any incumbent right now. I think people are tired. I think they're tired of the past 8 years. And so they look at who's in office, and I think that's the biggest problem is the fatigue factor. It's not what, the, you know, it's just that you're the one who's there. I'm tired of it. I think that's a big factor.
But you have a lot of people that are mad at him concerning the health exchange as well. And again, to those people in the Otter campaign listening, which I know they do, not beating up on him. I'm just telling them the facts. And here's the, you know, you've got people mad about the health exchange. You've got mad about this. Now, we're the only ones that have this. So are you ready for this one? Do we have time or not?
We're running out.
Okay, quickly, Timmy.
You know, I drive in from Star every day just like you do. And when I'm sitting there on State Street and Old Highway 55 at the stoplight in my Ford pickup that gets about 15 miles to the gallon, somebody in an electric car pulls right up next to me. I'm paying 25 cents every 14 or 15 miles I drive because they have an electric car, and God bless them for that effort.
What he, and we, I could play it on and on. What he's alluding to is, you know, it's not fair. And there should be some type of fairness, equality, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it's been looked at on the federal level as well.
Obama.
No, before that, even during the Bush administration.
Yeah, but don't the feds want you to be more efficient, so now they're going to penalize you for buying a Prius?
Yes, but no, that was looked at even during the Bush administration. But I was involved in a test,
right?
A national test.
I'm not talking about the national test. I'm talking about the local test. And people believe Medicaid and a fuel tax are going to come. Maybe they'll come maybe with Volukoff as well.
Oh, trust me. But trust me, it's coming.
Pro-life.
You know, it is coming.
He's going to save you.
Is he? All right, let's do this. Traffic now, Kevin. And
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
48 degrees coming up. We'll take a look at, well, possibly gay marriage in Idaho. Ho, ho, ho. Quickly to traffic now. And 580 KIDO coming up next. Our friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Stay tuned.
Serving Meridian.